The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Since early February of this year, I, along with many of you here at Lord of Life and many of our friends down the road at St. Simon and Jude, have been working our way through the Bible in 90-day curriculum, a process whereby we're going to read the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation. And because we're doing this with our Catholic brethren, we're even adding in those extra books that we don't usually get to hear from. So it's a little extracurricular reading for us Lutherans who are joining this process. And this past week, we just finished the Old Testament and all those extra Catholic books. And so now we're about to dive in to the New Testament. But what I've discovered, and I think is helpful for me to share with us this morning, is that, well, even for me, a self-proclaimed Bible nerd who went to school to study this stuff, there are times when reading the entire Bible in 90 days is just exhausting. It is not always an easy task. I mean, there are chapters and verses and names of people and places that we don't know and dates that are confusing and stories that don't make sense. And sometimes you just want to say, "I need a break. I need a breath, or I need something to help me get through this muck of words that I'm sure are supposed to make sense, but at this point are just kind of jumbled in my mind." It's not an easy process to read the scriptures. And yet we continue to push on because we're convinced that if we know these stories through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the work of this community, new things will continue to be revealed to us. There'll be new ways in which we can experience God, both in this building and in our lives. There'll be new ways that our community of faith can be grown and changed and challenged. We believe that all of this lies within the power of Scripture. And so we've embarked on this journey, and now, having finished the Old Testament, I find that my mind has been changed a little bit. I suddenly have a context for stories that previously, you know, you'd read a snippet here and a snippet there, and suddenly you say, "Oh, those two kind of go hand in hand. These things are happening at the same time or at the same place." Or the joy of reading it with other people, we get to realize that we're not the only ones who are wrestling and struggling with these texts, but we get to wrestle those words together. And so now, having the whole breadth of the history of the Hebrew Scriptures floating around in my mind, I feel like my brain has become like one of those maps on the TV crime dramas where you have a whole bunch of seemingly unrelated pictures and places all across a billboard with strings and lines drawing from here to there, trying to make sense of it all. And so this morning, as frightening as it may be, I'm going to let you all into my mind, And we're going to try to follow a few of those strings and make a few of those connections. In light of this idea of our theme for the season, the Easter to be continued, we are going to continue this story into our very lives this morning. And so we're going to start by taking a look at our story from the book of Acts. And in order to understand the book, we have to back up a little bit because, again, we're just getting a little snippet. And frankly, we're coming in the middle of a long story here. And so we have to back up to the day of Pentecost. And I know it hasn't come yet, but bear with me here for a moment. We remember that Pentecost, we had the tongues of fire, and everybody gets the Holy Spirit speaking in lots of different languages. Great, everybody's excited. And then the disciples, now called apostles, go out and start preaching the word of God. And one day, Peter and John walk into the temple, and as they're walking into the temple, they see a man who cannot walk, and they say, "Get up and walk in the name of Jesus," and the man gets up, and he praises God, and the temple leaders are not so excited about this, and so they arrest Peter and John, and they bring them before the temple leaders, the same temple leaders who back during the crucifixion story, Peter denied Jesus before. Now he has the opportunity to preach and share the good news of the resurrected Jesus. And as the temple leaders hear this story, they strictly order them, "Don't teach or preach in the name of this Jesus. Keep your mouths shut." And so they go back. And by chapter 4 of the book of Acts, they gather with all the other believers, and they know that this has been the order that they've been given, and so they pray. They pray for boldness so that they might continue preaching. So we fast forward a little bit further, and Peter and now all the apostles, so all 12 of them, go back into the temple, begin preaching again, and as expected, are arrested again, and end up in jail. And then in a pretty incredible occurrence that's kind of glossed over as though it happens all the time, an angel of the Lord shows up and lets them out of prison, right? We've all had that experience. That's classic. And so they're out of the temple, and they walk out of jail, and you might think to yourself at this point, well, they're surely going to go home and get a bite to eat, or they're going to get a change of clothes or get some rest. Nope. They walk straight out of jail, right back into the temple, and start preaching again. Nothing can stop them from sharing this word of God, this good news of this Jesus who was killed but who was raised from the dead. And so again, the temple leaders arrest them, and again, they are brought before the council, and that is where our story picks up today. This is not the first run-in that the apostles have had with the temple leaders. And so we have a little bit of understanding why the temple leaders are a little bit frustrated, perhaps even aghast at what's happening. They look at the disciples and say, "You've got to be kidding me. We gave you one rule. Just stop talking about this Jesus and everything will be fine. Why do you insist on breaking our law?" At this point, I want to read for us from the 29th verse of our reading today. "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than any human authority.'" This simple statement becomes the framework and the foundation for the movement of Christianity, for the continuation of this Easter story from the resurrection of Jesus to our very lives today. But it is a statement and it is a power that is as old as Scripture itself. Think back to all those stories that we've heard from the Old Testament. Daniel refuses to bow before a king and is thrown into a lion's den. His friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're all thrown into a furnace because they refused to pray to the golden statue. Then we end up with Ruth, and everyone tells Ruth, "You got to leave your land and go back home." And she says, "No, I'm going to stay here. God has a plan for me." And then we get to Job. Job's own wife says, "Just curse God and die." And he refuses because he knows that is not the plan that God has for him. And then we see Hannah giving up her only son, Samuel, into service of God so that he might become a great prophet for the Lord, eventually anointing Saul and David. And then, of course, we have Ezra and Nehemiah, those fools who thought they could rebuild the city. Everyone told them, everyone around them said, "You're crazy, this can never happen." And yet they knew the only voices they could ever listen to was the voice of God. We could go on, Isaiah, Hosea, Nehemiah, I said him already. Isaiah, Hosea, Nathan, there it is. Nathan, that's the N one this time. Jacob, Joshua, Rachel, Rahab. We could go on and on. All of them sharing the simple edict. We must obey God rather than any human authority. The story of the Hebrew Scriptures, the story of our people that have come before us, is a story repeated over and over again of people who come into conflict with the laws of their country, even their own church, and the laws that they know in their heart they are to follow by God. The God who brought them out of slavery from Egypt, the God who gave them the gift of the Sabbath, the God who said, care for the widow and the orphan, welcome the stranger, and write my law on your heart. And time again, they find themselves in conflict, forced to choose whom will we obey. Worse off yet, more often than not, this conflict comes within the confines of their own country. Choosing not between the laws of Babylon or the laws of Assyria, though certainly they do that as well, but choosing between the laws of Israel, God's chosen nation, and the laws that they know they are called to follow from God. Because even God's chosen nation doesn't get it right all the time. And frankly, if we continue to look at our story from Jesus this week, the Easter story, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, at its core is a continuation of this same theme. Jesus could have obeyed human authority and stopped healing on the Sabbath. He could have obeyed human authority and stopped eating with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. Jesus could have even gone to Pilate and just answered Pilate's questions. Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, and yet Jesus looked him in the eye and said, "You have no authority except that which is given to you from above." The story of Jesus is the story of the only one who has ever perfectly obeyed God rather than human authority. And the Easter story, the story that we continue this morning and throughout the rest of our lives, is the story of this thing being played out again and again and again, where each of us are given the chance to make this same choice. It continued with Peter and the apostles in our reading today. It continues with Paul as he's eventually arrested and taken to Rome. It continued with the first Christian martyrs who were arrested and killed because they refused to acknowledge the authority of the empire. Eventually, Martin Luther will come along and he'll refuse to fall in line with a church who was claiming to be the voice of God's own self, and yet he knew that these laws the church were setting up were corrupt and were not in line with the heart of God and the heart that he saw revealed in Scripture. And so he said, "I cannot abide by this any longer." Eventually, slavery will be dismantled by people of faith who will say, "We do not believe that the laws of humanity govern our hearts and how we enact ourselves in the world." Even further along the line, we as a church will come together and we'll say, "You know what? We've gotten it wrong. We've been following human authority rather than God's authority, and we're going to start to ordain women. We're going to reclaim our hold on mercy and grace and forgiveness and God's gift into our lives." Even Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. himself will be killed because he had the audacity to stand up and say, "God's law does not divide us by the color of our skin. We must obey God rather than any human authority." We see it play out around us every single day. And the fact of the matter is that when we take this challenge seriously, we realize it is a dangerous call. When we put ourselves in conflict with governments, when we put ourselves in conflict with churches of power, it is a dangerous and risky business that we face. In fact, if we had read just one verse further in our story from Acts, we would hear this: "When the council heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them." Now we know at this point the council does not kill them, but 11 out of the 12 original apostles will eventually be martyred because they refuse to acknowledge any authority above God. And it's a story that continues to be played out even today. As we know, as we gather safely and peacefully in this space, there are Christians in Sri Lanka who risk their lives as their government has said, stay home, don't go to places of worship, because we don't know if there are going to be more terror attacks. The very notion of them stepping out of their home and saying, I am a Christian and I believe in the resurrection, could bring terror on their entire country. This is not a new story. It's a story that has followed us since the beginning of time. It's a story that again and again puts us in a place of conflict, choosing whom we will serve. But we cannot obey any authority other than God. So where does this put us this morning? As we think about the continuation of Easter, as we believe in our hearts that the resurrection lives on in our very lives, in our waking and in our sleeping, in our dying and in our living, in every breath that we take, the resurrection is living out in our hearts. And so as resurrection people, what is our call? Because I promise you, we will come into conflict with the laws of humans. There will be a point where our government will tell us to do something where we know in our hearts does not abide with the law of God. There will be a point where our church tells us to follow a path that we know God would not call us to. There will be a point where our very spouse, our very children, our very parents will tell us to follow a path that we know in our heart is not God's will. And if we are honest with one another, and I hope to this morning that we can be honest with one another, more often than not, we're probably going to get it wrong. There are going to be lots of choices, lots of paths for us to make this decision, and we're probably going to mess it up quite a bit. And thanks be to God that we are saved by grace through faith alone and not by getting it right all the time. But maybe this morning, as this Easter story is continued in our hearts, maybe this morning and in the weeks and months and years to come, we can join the apostles in their prayer for boldness. Perhaps we can ask God for the strength of those apostles, of those faithful men and women who have gone before us. Perhaps we too can join together and all say, we must obey God rather than any human authority. God loves each of you, and I do too.